will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. God is good, and all the time. Yes, he really is. Psalm 100 verse 5, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Truth will endure to all generations, but one day, thank God, error, false doctrines, false teachings will all come to an end. Good evening, everyone. Thank you very much for coming to the house of God to listen to his life-changing word. You know, it is by the word that God made the entire universe. And if God can make an entire universe using only his word, surely the word of God can make a difference in your little personal universe of your life. Let me say it again. If the word of God can create the heaven and the earth, surely that word can do something in your personal life. No wonder Jesus told the devil, man shall not live by bread alone, but how? By every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's why every night I try to give you, thus saith the Lord. The word must be from the mouth of God, and the mouth of God is that book you have in your Bible, in your hand, called the Bible. I believe that we have some guests who are listening via YouTube and Facebook, wherever you are. I thank you very much for connecting with us, and may the Lord bless you super abundantly. I sincerely mean that, for your presence with us. May God bless, and I will say that every night, every nation represented by those who are listening. I had a good day, and I thank God for that. How was your day? It was fine. It was awesome. Yes. Well, we thank God for bringing us through the day. We really do. We must thank God consciously and constantly, because every breath we take is because of God. Let me say that again. This is no exaggeration. Every breath we take is because of God. Because the Bible says the Creator upholds all things by the word of his power, and humanity falls under all things. So let us make it a habit, a spiritual habit, to thank God constantly. If you're driving on a highway, you're about to switch lanes, and there's a car to your right, you almost didn't see it, you thank God for saving you from an accident. You're walking down the stairs, you miss a step. You don't fall, but you stumble. You could have broken your ankle. You thank God. There are constant reasons all day long to say, thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Our subject for this evening, defeated but not dead. What did I say? Defeated but not dead. Thank you very much. Let us pray. Father, thank you for life. Thanks for sanity, clear minds. Thanks for health. Thanks for physical mobility, dear God. The ability to put one foot ahead of the other, because multiple thousands cannot do it. Thank you for hearing. Thank you for homes. Thank you for food. Thank you for transportation. But above all, thank you for Jesus and his salvation. Father, we are dust, and so we're prone to sin. If we've offended you, dear God, forgive us, Father. Your word says in Psalm 103, verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Exercise that mercy now, Father, and forgive us where we offended you. In a very particular way, forgive me. I humble myself before you and I ask you, loving Father, use me, dear God. Let my motive be, let my ambition be in this desk to glorify you by presenting Thus Saith the Lord. Father, every night I pray for all nations represented by those who are listening. Bless those nations, God. Bless the leaders. Let them always remember that righteousness exalteth a nation. Let them try it. Right doing lists a nation, and it also lists the individual who practices it. Now, dear God, we commit this service to your glory. Speak through us very directly, I pray, with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. Defeated, but not dead. Let us go to Genesis chapter 3. We'll read verse 14. Genesis 3, verse 14, the first hint or mention of the gospel in the Bible. Genesis 3, verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. You will observe, a heel is bruised, and a head is bruised. The serpent would bruise the heel of the woman's seed. The seed would bruise the head of the serpent. Meaning that while the serpent would wound the seed would destroy the serpent. A head wound is a death blow. A heel wound is not. And so the serpent would bruise his heel. He would bruise the devil's head, meaning a death blow. Let us go now to Hebrews chapter 2. We'll read verse 14. Hebrews 2, reading verse 14. And I read from the King James Version of the Bible. Hebrews 2, verse 14, our subject, defeated but not dead. Hebrews in the New Testament, as you go towards the back of the New Testament, you should run into Hebrews before James and Peter. After Philemon and Titus, you should see Hebrews. I assume you have it now. Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Now listen carefully. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. Through death, that's the death of Christ, he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. Death came about because of what the devil originated, and that is sin. The Bible says through Calvary, not simply the death of Jesus, he had to come back from the grave. So it's the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is necessary. He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Verse 15, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So we have a promise that the sacrifice of Christ would be the death of the devil. But we know the devil is not yet dead. Go to Revelation chapter 12, we'll read verse 17. Revelation 12, verse 17. Defeated, but not dead, is our subject. Revelation 12, verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now this was written decades after Jesus died, decades after Calvary occurred. Clearly, the devil is not dead. But he's defeated. Somebody else say amen. The devil is not dead, but he's defeated. But he would have you and me believe that he is not defeated. And therein lies occasions for many of us to fall and crumble under his attacks. He would have us believe that he is not defeated. But the devil is defeated, even though he is not yet dead. Let's find out some biographical information about the devil. Now, he's not the focus of this message. It's Christ. But we need to understand who our enemy is. Are you following me? Let us go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28. We'll read from verse 11. Ezekiel 28, reading from verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Now, the text seems to direct the words at the king of Tyrus, but the king of Tyrus is a symbol for Satan. So it is really, the text is really talking about Satan. And verse 13 makes that clear. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. The king of Tyrus was never in Eden. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, topaz, and the diamond. The beryl, the onyx, the jasper. The sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. When Lucifer was made, and he became the devil, he was covered with precious stones. He must have been a sight to behold. Verse 13 continues, the workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. We're told Lucifer was created. This is repeated in verse 15. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created. Lucifer was a created being. Let's discover who created Lucifer. Colossians 1, let's read verse 16. Our subject, defeated but not dead. Colossians 1, reading verse 16. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Verse 17, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. This him, of course, is Jesus Christ. Christ created everything and every living being. Go to the book of John. John chapter 1, we'll read from verse 1. Our subject, defeated but not dead. John chapter 1, reading from verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now, who is this Word? Verse 14 tells us. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Of course, the Word referring to Jesus Christ. He was the one and came and dwelt among us. Now, having identified the Word, let us go back to verse 1 of John chapter 1. Before I do, let me pray again. Holy Father, I'm reading one of the most profound passages in all the Bible. Possess and control my mind in Jesus' name. Amen. In the beginning was the Word. That's Christ. And the Word was with God. That's the Father. And the Word was God. That's equality. The same, that's the Word, Jesus, was in the beginning with God. That's the Father. Verse 3 now. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That him is the Word whom we know to be Christ. Go to verse 10 of John 1. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. The Bible tells us clearly, all things were made by Christ. Let's go to Hebrews 1. We read verse 10. And when you read verse 10 of Hebrews 1, remember, this is God the Father speaking. Hebrews 1, reading verse 10. This is God the Father speaking to Christ. And we're allowed to listen in. And thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. The Father tells the Son, thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. In other words, the Father is talking about the eternal nature of the Son. He said, the heavens and the earth shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as a garment. Now, the Father identifies Christ as the Creator. Let us go to Hebrews 1. Well, stay in Hebrews 1. Let's read from verse 1. We'll go down to 3. Our subject, defeated but not dead. We're identifying who created Lucifer. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, listen carefully now, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. The active agent of creation was Christ. Now, we go back to Ezekiel 28. We read verse 15. Well, let's read verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sun, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Christ made Lucifer perfect in beauty. There was no other created being more beautiful than Lucifer. Full of wisdom, there was no other created being wiser than Lucifer. Here's what, in the book Desire of Ages, page 761, paragraph 5. Here is what the author writes. The Desire of Ages, page 761, paragraph 5. To him, as to no other created being, was given a revelation of God's love. Lucifer understood God's love in a way no other angel understood, and God deliberately gave him that panoramic view of his love that not even Gabriel had. This is the being that rebelled against God. Now we look at verse 15 of Ezekiel 28. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created by Christ until iniquity was found in thee. Sin began, and the Bible gives no explanation for sin. It just tells us it began in an elevated being called Lucifer, who became Satan. This being rebelled against God. Let's go to Isaiah 14. We'll read from verse 12. Isaiah 14, reading verse 12. Our subject, defeated but not dead. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. This being mysteriously became dissatisfied with his position in heaven, wanted the position of Christ, which is a position equal with the Father, and his ambition was to overthrow God. God could not allow that. That's why we read in Revelation 12:7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was the place found any more in heaven. And the great well, let me go back to verse 8, which is essential to defeated but not dead, and our response to this being. Listen microscopically. And there was war in heaven. That's a conflict between two. Michael and his angels, that's one army, fought against the dragon and his angels. That's the other army. And prevailed not. In other words, they lost. From then until now, listen carefully. Every time the devil has come up against Christ, who can finish my words? He has lost. Somebody ought to say amen. And the same way he lost on a universal scale, he can lose in your life. Because the same power that defeated him on a universal scale is the same power that wants to work in your life. It is not a reduction of power. You cannot reduce the power of God. Let me say it again clearly and slowly. The power that defeated Satan and the demons that followed him is the same power that Christ will work in you to defeat the devil. The dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. And the great dragon was cast out. The same power that cast Satan out of heaven can cast Satan out of your home. Someone wrote me a few weeks ago, Elder, I bought a piece of land and it belongs to the devil, or something like that. I wrote back and said, you're God's child. If the devil is in that land misbehaving, you give the land to God immediately and the devil has to go. give it to him immediately, and the devil has no more right. He has to go. And I told her, call the church pastor, call the elders, stand on that land and commit it to God as his. And Satan has to leave. He is not dead, but, come on, he's defeated. And he was defeated through Christ and can be defeated in your lives through Christ. And she did that and began to see changes. I get calls or letters, texts, I should say, all the time from people who are bothered by the devil. And I want to tell you tonight how to deal with this defeated foe. You understand? So if he's functioning in your life, you know what to do. If you believe your neighbor has cast a spell on you, you know what to do. If you believe you're living under a curse that came down from 1841 from your great-grandfather, you know what to do. Let me pray. Father in heaven, direct my thoughts and my speech, dear God, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Sin began with Satan. The power of sin is the power of Satan. The power of righteousness is the very life of Christ. Where sin exists, Satan has a right to be present. Let me rephrase my words. Where sin exists as a practice, not a mistake. Children of God make mistakes. That's not what I'm referring to. Where sin exists as a practice, or it may be a persistent sin a person refuses to give up, you have given the devil the right to enter your life or your home or your space or your workplace or your land. You know what Jesus said in John 14, verse 30? Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and what? Hath nothing in me. What did Jesus mean? There is nothing in me with which Satan can identify. He has no rights because there's no sin. When you are covered by Jesus Christ, the same thing applies to you. The devil has no rights. Now, he can make noise from the outside, but he has no entrance into your life. He has no right in your home. He has no right in your office place. He has no right on the land you've bought in the country. He has no rights. Why? Because you are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And that power that defeated him then will defeat you now. Defeat him now. What am I saying? Step number one in dealing with the devil, make sure your life is given to God 100%. This means you become God's property. Can you say amen? God's property is protected by God. I say God's property, you look at me as if I didn't actually mean it. No, I meant it. When you give your life to God, you become God's property. And whatever in God's hands, no one can pluck it. Come on, out of his hands. Give the life. And I said 100%. If you give your life to God 98%, then you've got to answer the question, who controls the 2%? Many of us, we are surrendered to God 98%, 99%. Who controls the 1%? God does not cooperate with the devil in the running of our lives. Mark chapter 12, reading from verse 28. Mark 12, reading from verse 28, our subject, defeated but not dead. Many of us are bothered by the devil because we simply will not go to Christ. Mark 12, reading from verse 28. Father in heaven, as I continue, dear God, let the Holy Spirit whisper loudly in my mind what to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Mark 12, reading from verse 28. And one of the scribes came And having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus said to that man, what did he say? The first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Now listen carefully. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God, how? With all thine heart. What else? With all thy? Yeah, with all thy mind. With all thy? Yes. With all. Not some. With all. What this means is, when you and I serve God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength, there is nothing left in us for the devil. I'm sure you all drink water from bottles. If you fill a bottle up to the brim, nothing else can get in unless you pour out some to make room for it. Are you with me? When your life is fully given to Christ, the only way the devil can enter is you decide to evict Christ. By not praying, by not studying God's word, by not watching how you interact with others or circumstances so that you do not put yourself in compromising situations. The only way the devil can enter a life led by Christ is if Christ is evicted. And so Jesus says, thou shalt love the Lord, obey the Lord, or submit to God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. This is total surrender. Go to Matthew 6, verse 24. Matthew 6, reading verse 24. You have that? Yes, we are in Mark. Can't go too far to find Matthew. No man can serve two masters. Name for me the two masters. God, come on. And Satan, that's it. Now, God has agents, the devil has agents, but there are two ultimate masters we serve, either God or the devil. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. Many of us try. We serve God on Sabbath or Sunday and the devil during the week. That does not work. No man can serve two masters. Now, notice the words of Jesus. See how strong they are. Unmistakable. For either he will, what? Either he will. Look at Matthew 6:24. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. I hope you have the King James Version so you can follow me. Listen again to the words. Here's God, here's Satan. Jesus said, you can only serve one, you can't serve both. When you serve one, you hold him and you hate. Two opposite words. For either will hate the one and love the other, or else you will hold to the one and despise. We have love, we have hate, we have embrace, we have despise. In other words, it must be clear cut that you serve God and God alone. Now, when this is the case, Jesus says in verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat, nor yet for your body what you shall drink. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? When your decision is clear cut, I serve God, it is to you that Jesus says, take no thought. In dealing with the devil, make sure your life is completely given to God, and that has to be daily. Christ Triumphant, page 215, paragraph 1. Genuine conversion is needed not once in years, but daily. Christ Triumphant, page 250, I think it's paragraphs 1 or 2. Daily surrender to God. 2, in dealing with the devil. Go to Matthew 8. Matthew 8. Our first step, make sure your life is entirely surrendered to Christ who defeated the devil. Matthew 8, you read verse 16. And when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits, how? With his word. Now, if Jesus dealt with demons with his word, why would you choose another method like a witch doctor or a medicine man, medwoman, or someone who reads your palms or someone who reads the intestines of a snake or something. The Bible says he cast out the spirits with his word. Let me tell you what I suspect you already know. This is what the devil is afraid of. The word of God. Go to Matthew 4. We read from verse 1 of Matthew 4. Our subject, defeated but not dead. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Jesus defended himself using the word. Go to 1 John chapter 3. Let's read verse 8. 1 John 3, reading verse 8. Defeated, but not dead. Towards the back of the Bible, find Revelation, Jude, 3 John, 2 John, and 3 John. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. Listen to that verse very, very carefully as you read it. And I told you a few nights ago, when reading the Bible, read as if you're actually listening to the voice of God. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. You finish the verse. That he might what? Destroy what? The works of the devil. Now, someone came to me a few years ago. I was preaching somewhere on the face of the earth and said, "Every night I sleep, the devil comes and molests me." Or the devil, or maybe he sends a demon. But every night I sleep, demons come and molest me. It was a young lady. And she said, "I can't sleep." I gave her this verse. But before I gave her this verse, I gave her step number one. What is that? Surrender your life. Come on. How? Completely to God. Because sin is what attracts the devil. Surrender your life completely to God. Then I told her, take this verse. I had her to read it. He that committeth sin, means practices sin, is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested. One of the reasons Jesus came was to destroy the work of the devil. And most of the devil's work is done in people. I told her, read this verse, read it, then tell God, "Father, please keep your word in my life tonight." That's after you surrender your life to God and do it sincerely. Read this verse to God. Read it, think about it, memorize it, say it, fall asleep saying this verse. This person came back to me the next day. I was doing a crusade. He said, "I slept last night for the first time in months." And God's people said, "Amen." This is the devil's terror. This is what terrorizes him. The word of God. Step one, give your life to God. Then you become his. What does the Bible say? What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought, give me the next few words, with a price. Ye are not your own. Live that way. I literally belong to God. Literally. And therefore, I am careful what I put into my stomach. I am careful what I drink. I am careful what I inhale. I am careful what I inject. I am careful how I dress. I am careful how I speak. I am careful where I go, because I do not belong to me. I literally belong to God. And when that's the case, the devil has to respect God's rightful ownership of your life. So you give that to him. The word. the word when a demon followed Paul and Silas in Acts 16. Paul got sick and tired of this young girl following him. He turned around and rebuked the devil. He spoke and the devil came out. In Mark chapter 5, when that demon-possessed man who lived in the tombs and always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. Verse 6 of Mark 5, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? Hast thou come to torment me? I adjure thee before God that thou torment me not. The next verse says, for he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit, and the devil had to come out. I said, the demon had to come out. Because Jesus speaks with authority, but this is the very voice of Christ to be used by his people. This is not a tool of manipulation to get from God anything you want. This is powerful in the hands of a child of God. Are you listening to me? Because there are seven men in Acts chapter 19 who tried to cast out a demon in the name of Jesus. And the demon said, I know Paul. I know Jesus, but who are you? And the demon beat them up and they ran. So just saying Jesus has no magic. Do you know him? Is he the Lord of your life? Is he sitting on the throne of your heart? If that's the case, the devil has to respect God's possession of your life. And where God sits, the devil cannot sit. So you give your life to God completely. You put the word in your heart and in your mind. Satan cannot overcome the word of God. It is the word of God that will destroy him in a certain sense that the word has said he will be destroyed. The word said that. Consequently, in a certain sense, the word will destroy him. Revelation 12:12. Therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Number 3, avoid sin. Avoid sin. What I usually say is sin is the devil's embassy. And God respects embassies. Are you with me? Embassy is sacred ground, but with respect to the devil, we have to put sacred in quotation marks. Sin is the devil's embassy, and he has a right to be there. Get sin out of your life. When sin goes, Satan's control goes. Give your life to God, the word of God. Get sin out of your life. Here's how God describes Job. In Job chapter 1, verse 8, I believe it is. Hast thou considered my servant Job? There's none like him in the earth. A perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. A simple word for eschew is avoids. He avoids. Avoid situations that may compromise you. Avoid. The devil is defeated. But not dead. When I tell you put this in your heart and in your mind, I'll tell you why. Not only it is the power to defeat the devil, but the devil's primary weapon is not violence. The devil's primary weapon is deception. Listen to Revelation 12:9. And the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth. You finish the verse. His angels were cast out with him. But what does he do to the whole world? According to that verse, he deceives the whole world. And the only way to deceive is to twist God's word. The Bible refers to him as Satan, the devil, Satan, and the dragon. No, let me give it again. Satan, the devil, serpent, and the dragon. Dragon, he's a destroyer. That's what he tried to do in the early days of the Roman Empire. To kill the Christians, it didn't work. So he turned to deception by mingling the world with the church. As the devil, he's an adversary. As Satan, he's an accuser. of course, as the serpent, he is a deceiver, and his most effective tactic is deception. That is why most people believe when you die, you go straight to heaven or hell. Deception. Or Sunday or Tuesday or Thursday is the Sabbath. Deception. The devil's primary tactic is deception. When the disciples came to Christ in Matthew 24, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Jesus said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. The only defense against deception is the word of God. And so tonight I offer to you the living word of God, and the living word of God is Jesus Christ himself. As the only defense against the devil. The devil is an intelligent being, a living being, a real being, and one of his greatest deceptions is to get the world to believe he does not exist. Or he's an animal with a tail and horns and carries a pitchfork. It delights him that people believe that he was the most intelligent being God ever made, and he still has that brilliance, he still has that power, he still has that cunning, but he uses it to destroy. Let me close the book to let you see I'm finishing. Do not allow a defeated person to defeat you. It makes no sense. Here's the devil defeated. Here is Christ victorious. I'll tell you something else. Here is Christ. He died for you. Here's the devil. He's trying to kill you. And most people follow the devil. Listen to what Jesus said. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come, says Christ, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. The devil's purpose is your destruction. That goes all the way back to Eden, as far as the earth is concerned. Because God said, if you eat, you die. The devil said, you will not die. He lied. He wanted them dead. Are you with me? He wanted them dead. The devil's ultimate desire for you is your death without Christ. So God said, if you eat, you die. The devil said, no, go ahead and eat. Tonight, you need not fear the devil. Keep your eye on Jesus. What do you say? You know, Jesus came to this earth as a man. Every temptation he resisted. Every conflict with the devil lost. Jesus went to the tomb, the territory of the devil. The devil couldn't hold him. He came back. He defeated death, which is the last enemy that shall be destroyed. The devil's most effective tool is the threat of death. That's why when he went up to heaven and God said, look at my servant Job. You know what the devil said? Skin for skin, all that a man hath will he give for his life. The devil knows that our lives mean more to us than anything else. And so he threatens our lives. And many people leave Christ because their lives are threatened. But Jesus is the resurrection and the life. The devil, he is death. And one day, what he originated, what he brought into existence by originating sin, what he brought into existence is death, will be his final, ultimate punishment. And for those who have lived by the living word of God, our reward will be everlasting life. Until that great day, you and I can live victorious lives by surrendering our lives entirely to Christ. By living by every word and by doing everything. You know, when my brother was giving me the microphone before I came up, and he wiped it, or he gave me something to wipe it, then wipe down, and then wipe everything inside. Let's take that attitude towards sin. Are you with me? Let's wipe down everything with the Holy Ghost. And the devil will not be able to claim 1 millimeter of territory in your life. He is not dead. He's defeated. Christ died, but came back. Are you with me? Christ came back from the dead by his own power. I may tell you sometime, one other night, how Christ came back by his own power. He was not raised by the Father. He came back by his own power, even though the Bible says the Father raised him. There's an explanation for that. Jesus Christ defeated death. The devil will be subject to to death. How many will say tonight, Father, I surrender my life to you 100%. Say it not with your voice, but with your heart. How many of you will say that tonight? Can I see your hand? And on YouTube, and on Facebook, wherever you are, give that life to Christ. And mark that decision card. You may want to be baptized. We'll have a baptism August 29. Make a mark. Wherever you are, you may want to be rebaptized. You can write that. You may want a visit from the pastor if you're in Minneapolis somewhere. You write that. You may want special prayer. You write that. But make your decision known. Because God is a God of decisions. He decided to send Jesus and did not change his mind. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father in heaven, we thank you, dear God, that the great enemy of our souls is defeated. He is not yet dead, but it's coming. But Father, help us to understand that the triumphant Jesus Christ should be our focus. Because when he is the center of our lives, the devil is defeated in our individual life. He may act up, he may cause problems, but he can never dominate our lives as long as our lives are in the hands of Christ. Please, God, help us to understand we did not fear the dark. We did not fear graveyard. We did not fear going to bed if our lives are in the hands of Jesus Christ. We know, whatsoever born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of him keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. 1 John 5:18. Let us be reborn again tonight, dear Father, that we may begin to experience the sweet sensation of victory over the enemy through Jesus Christ. Father, I say on the authority of your word, the devil is defeated. He's defeated universally. He's defeated in your lives of your people. May we forever cling to Jesus, who defeated death, hell, sin, the grave, and Satan. Let's walk out of this church tonight, or wherever we are, with the confidence that with Christ within and without, we have nothing to fear from the Prince of Darkness. Watch over us tonight. Bring us back tomorrow, I pray. And move upon the hearts of your people to make the necessary decisions, dear God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listening of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website. You may also order presentations online at AmericanChristianMinistries.org or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.